Hi friends, this is chapter number 4 I am covering now. It is titled as Designing Training Programs. The actual designing of the program, once you have done all your other processes preceding this, training need analysis, determining the training gap, etc. Now we actually design the program, which is involving how to create a syllabus, the flow, etc. Right? So let's go along and see what it contains. The objectives of this particular chapter is know the meaning and the significance of training design. Know the various training design models. Identify the factors to be taken into account for designing a training program. Understand the motivational dynamics of the trainees. Understand the process of the training design. So let's take it further. Meaning and significance of the training design. After assessing training needs, this is the next step. The training manager arrives at a more or less right solution for the performance of the compliance or compliance issue. At this stage, his designing of the training program is covered. Designing a successful training program not only requires a thorough understanding of the training problem or the gap, but also a well-defined expected outcome and a well-thought-out plan for the achieving them. I know what's a gap. I'm offering a solution. Is the solution actually filling up the gap or not? I have to also take that into account when I'm designing. Designing is a planned activity in which the context of the training, how to present the content, the structure and the flow is created. Context, content, structure and flow. Context is what's the context, conditions, what's the purpose for the training? What is content in the training as a syllabus? How is it structured? What's the flow? How is the structure and how is the flow? Designing the training needs to be an activity which is goal focused, at the same time with flexible alternatives for effectiveness of the training. There are trainers who have a training design already created. There is session 1, session 2, session 3, session 4 for a day, 9 to 5. And then they stick on to that. Now, when the training is going on, it's important thing to be noted is that you'll get new challenges coming up. What, in spite of the best of research done, in spite of the best of the analysis done, you might come across something which is a surprise in the training room. So we must be flexible to move in the direction without the goal getting diluted, the path towards the goal getting diluted. So this flexibility is important. The flexible alternative is an important part of the designing. So if A doesn't work, what is a contingency? What's a B, plan B? What's plan B, C? You should have that in with you. Designing is a detailed sketch of what needs to be done, why it needs to be done, and the best way to do it. The training manager has to define the purpose of the training audience who is going to attend it, determine participants' learning needs, define the training goals and objectives, outline the training content, develop the instructional activities, schedule the program, determine evaluation criteria, develop follow-up activities, etc. Now in this there are administrative activities and creative activities. Not everything the training manager can do is very challenging. In most cases, developing the outline of the training content and the program and the instructions are left to the trainer. In most cases, okay? In most cases, I've seen training managers, they create a timetable. They do some of the activities which I've already read out, but not all. They become more like training administrators rather than actually being a part of it. They know how to network, how to get the things done. Okay? Training designers need to focus on three important perspectives of the training: cost, availability, and appropriateness. Cost of the training program. Whether the training program is available to be done in terms of its props and other things and all, and then whether it is appropriate, right? They need to ask certain questions like what materials and props do we need for the training program? Props are supports. Which media of communication needs to be used? Today we are doing online training. Online behavioral training is just not okay in my understanding. Which medium of communication? Do I go online? Do I go for a video call? Do I have a one-on-one? Do I take them outbound? So what sort of a medium? How do I communicate the thing to them? Do I just send them a report, some sort of a written matter? Okay. What specialized expertise, if any, may be required? The basic elements of an effective training design are learner focused. The learner focusing is very important. The person who's attending the program should be made to focus. So you must have the skills to see that his focus is not lost. It's based on identified needs, obviously. Measurable objectives, goal oriented, time bound, and the need to consider resource constraints, if any. 6 points are there. Meaning and significance of training design continuing. Training design is nothing but a training plan involving three activities. Stating the training objectives. Underline the word objectives. Second, identifying the learning activities and learning methodology. How the methodology is being put forward. Third is sequencing the activities in which lead to the meaningful learning. Which comes first, which comes second, which comes third. Okay? Training managers need to adopt a methodical approach to designing courses which involves breakup of the various tasks and activities into manageable steps with flexibility of changes where the need be. Methodical approach, systematic approach, logical, which goes from one to the other, with emotional meaningfulness also, so that they start actually building up their comfort zone and start feeling nice to make the changes. It is the place where the trainee, the participants actually go through the comfort of change, and you have to create that for them. The effectiveness of a professional trainer relies a lot on the designing stage and the manner in which the trainer is able to navigate the training as appropriately as the situation demands. This navigation is very important. He must learn to take the training properly. That's where the skill becomes dynamic. It's not static. You don't come with skills from home and you say, I'm going to do only this. No. You should have, like a magician, you know, you should have a lot of, you know, rabbits in your hat. And you never know what is needed in the next moment. So you must have that flexibility, you must have that appropriateness, and you must also have the objectivity to do it. Looking at the situation. A learning program is said to be effective when a noticeable, permanent or irreversible change of behavior happens. I've already explained this. It is ultimately the change in behavior that is being addressed, and hence the designing needs to be behavior change centric. Whatever designing I do, I make it a point to say that, will this change the behavior? If it not is changing the behavior, that designing will have a very short term results. Making somebody learn something by heart will not make him change. So if he keeps on repeating it when his mind is not into it, it will not make a change in him. Creating an interest so that it comes from the mind, then he repeats, then it will make a change. So his emotional involvement is very important. The effectiveness of the training design depends on the designer's background, like personality, value system, education, professionals or life experience, knowledge about the organization and its culture, etc. Obviously, the training design has got a number of factors affecting it. The personality and the value system, the education, professional and life experience of the participant, and the knowledge about the organization and its culture. Okay, now all these things come to make up the full individual who's sitting and attending the training workshop. Training design models. A few learning models have been developed in the past, which we need to understand before we design our own learning program modules. Now two of them are discussed here, two training modules or models, it's not modules, it's models that have been established. Utility are, one, instructional system development model, longish name, don't worry, it's very simple to understand. Second one is transitional model. So let's discuss this in the subsequent slides. Instructional system development model, ISD, was developed during the World War II when US military was introducing sophisticated new equipment into the battlefield and needed effective training design quickly. This model has been improved upon over the years, while the original context still remains the same, even today. This model is popular even today because it focuses on the training need and the job performance. Training objectives are defined on the basis of job responsibilities and job description. And on the basis of the defined objectives, individual progress is measured. Simple to understand. This is how the flow takes place. Analysis is done. Then the planning stage, it goes to the development stage, the execution, and the feedback is taken place, and it's a cyclical process. Analysis, to execution, planning to development, and the whole thing is cyclical. Okay? The instructional system development model comprises 5 stages. The first is analysis. The phase consists of training need assessment, job analysis, and target audience analysis. I don't need to explain this. Second is planning. This phase consists of setting goal of the learning outcome, instructional objectives that measure behavior of the participant after the training, types of training material, media selection, methods of evaluating the trainee, trainer, and the training program, strategies to impart knowledge, selection of content, sequencing of content, etc., etc. The whole thing is about planning for each and every small detail from start to finish, in short. Okay? Third one is development. This phase translates design decisions into training material. Actually, I develop the material. I start writing it down. It consists of developing course material or syllabus, as you call it, for the trainer, including handouts to be given, workbooks, visual aids like a PPT, stuff like that, or even a clipping of some movie or something. Demonstration props, you may make them go through some games or something, tower game or stuff like that. Course material for the trainers, including handouts of the summary, development. Fourth is execution. This is also called a delivery. The phase focuses on logistical arrangement, such as arranging speakers, equipments, benches, podium, blah, 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 all those things which you require in a training room, right? The fifth stage is evaluation. The purpose of this phase is to make sure that the training program has achieved its aim in terms of subsequent work performance. This phase consists of identifying strengths and weaknesses and making necessary amendments to any of the previous stage in order to remedy or improve failure practices. Okay? It's basically trying to take a feedback and check what are the areas where you need to change. The Instructional System Development Model, ISD, is a continuous process that lasts through the training program, throughout the training program. Like we showed earlier, you know, it's a cyclical thing. It also highlights the fact that the feedback is an important phase throughout the entire training program. In this model, the output of one phase is the input of the next phase, as we saw in the pictorial representation. The transition model, the second one which I am explaining now, it focuses on the organization as a whole. The outer loop, there are two loops which we have. Outer loop describes the vision, mission and values of the organization on the basis of which training model is created. That's the inner loop. Okay, there's an outer loop and an inner loop. The inner loop is actually what is to be executed based on the outer loop's parameters, vision, mission, etc. Now here we can see this, there's a vision, start from the vision, go to the mission, values, unstructured experimentation, realization, back to the vision. This is the outer loop, the thick big arrows which you see outside. Inside you see implementation, evaluation, objective and plan. So start from plan, implement, evaluate, objective, again go back to plan, cyclical, correct? Now the outer is creating the inner. That's what we need to understand as far as the diagram is concerned, right? This is what this particular model is about. Taking it further, let's discuss the outer loop, which is the vision. I don't need to explain it in elaborate. All of us know vision by now. Focuses on the milestone that the organization would like to achieve after a defined point of time. Vision statement that tells you where the organization itself sees itself few years from now. A vision may include setting a role model, or bringing some internal transformation, or maybe promising to meet some other deadlines. Next comes a vision, mission. It explains the reason, underline the word reason, of the organization's existence. Why am I doing this? What's my mission in delivering this thing? That's my mission, that's the reason. It identifies the position of the community in the community. Community being the organization, the public at large, the stakeholders outside the organization. Where do I stand with respect to my community? You know why? Because every organization is a social entity. An organization is created to cater to the needs of the society, the community. So when it gives its mission, it tells clearly to the community, to the public at large, that this is what we stand for. Right? The reason of developing a mission statement is to motivate, inspire and inform the employees regarding the organization. They come to know clearly what is to be done. They get inspired also, and mission statements are very well worded with a lot of motivating words. The mission statement tells about the identity, that how the organization would like to be viewed by the customers, employees and all other stakeholders. Kya hua? The third one is values. It's a translation of vision and mission into communicable ideals. Ideals, not ideas, ideals. This is what we stand for. Values are usually non-negotiable. Once I say this is the value of my company, I have to show it in behavior, in everywhere, within the company, with the internal customers, with my employees, and also with the customers outside. It's values that create your brand. If you profess a value that this is what I am valuing, if you show it by walking your talk, then only you build a brand. Free replacement. And if you actually give a free replacement, then it shows that you're valuing your own words, your own claims. It reflects the deeply held values of the organization and is independent of the current industry environment. No matter what is happening today, but this is my value system. Okay, there may be a flood or there may be something happening, but I'll maintain the value system of timely delivery. That's a value system. It is independent of the circumstances, in short. For example, values may include social responsibility, excellent customer service, etc. That's some examples are given here. The mission, vision and values precede, they come before the objective in the inner loop, if you notice. This model considers the organization as a whole. The objective is formulated keeping these three things in mind, and then the training model is further implemented. It's a very good model because it tells you that it cannot be done in isolation, that only one department or one division has it. Whatever I do here is coming from it's outside in approach, not inside out. The outside is deciding what should happen, and so the inner loop is created. Factors to be designed for designing a training to be considered. The training manager needs to consider the following while designing the training program. Very simple steps. Previous knowledge, skills and experience of the participant. What's his background? The learning style of the participant. What is the learning style? The organization purpose of the training. The personal characteristics of the participants. Learning style is one, and his personality, his characteristics, etc. Nature of learning. How does he learn? In what form does he learn? By reading or by demonstration or by doing. Resources to be deployed. Monetary, intellectual and infrastructure. These are the points to be taken into account. Now we talk about motivational dynamics. The training manager will also need to tailor the contents and the teaching style to suit the motivational dynamics of the participant. What is motivational dynamics? When the training program starts, people may be excited. There will be motivation because they find the trainer is good, the material is good, the place is good. Now this motivation goes through a certain type of a dynamics. Sometimes it is up, sometimes it is down. They like some part of the trainer's output, but they may not like some other part of the trainer's output. They may get bored or they may get switched off. This can happen. So the training program, the training manager has to ensure that the contents and the teaching style should be flowing in such a way that the motivation of the participants are kept high. So we need to be flexible. Typically, during a training program after lunch, the third session when we take after lunch, people generally tend to become a little more lazy and they get switched off and all. So it is a role of the trainer, which should be backed up by the training manager's creation of the content, to see to it that there is some activity or something very exciting, so that they don't sleep off, they don't get demotivated, they don't get switched off. Motivational dynamics involves the stages through which the participant moves his motivation and meaningfully participates with the flow of the training. He must be kept active, motivation and dynamic, so that he keeps getting involved till the last minute of the training program's schedule. Most participants fall under the three phases of motivation: initial stage, intermediate stage and mature stage. In the initial stage, the trainer is a novice, fresher and hence into primary learning of following how to do instructions and executing them. In the intermediate stage, the trainer has gained some confidence and transiting through the initial stage, and the focus is on increasing efficiency. Since he is fairly knowledgeable, it tends to display false confidence, which needs to be addressed. Mature stage is a stage in which the trainee has advanced to a stage of self-realization and humble enough to willing to learn. These are usually the highly experienced people in a workplace. Let me reword this whole thing. When the trainee comes into the training hall, he's just fresh and new. He's just learning something, he's taking the inputs first. Then you ask him to do some activities, he goes into the intermediate stage. But ensure that he has understood it before he takes the activities. Otherwise, he'll still be in the initial stage. He'll be doing the activities like a robot without even knowing it. So in the intermediate stage, he has gained confidence. That means he knows what he's doing and he does it. And he starts finding a meaningfulness in that. But at the same time, whenever you learn something new for the first time, you may display false confidence. Now that you need to identify and address it. And tell him, look, you're still in the learning state. You've got a long way to go. So you have to take him along in a very proper way, appropriate way. In the mature state, what happens is the training program is unfolded, last two, three sessions or what. By the time you come to the final stage, the actual learning has taken place. The trainee has advanced to a stage of understanding, hey, this is what I need, should have done long back. And he's humble enough to admit that, yes, I need to learn. There are deficiencies in me which is not in line with the job requirements. And this is, when you say highly experienced people, means in the training program, these are the ones who actually absorb the training well for self-conversion, right? The training managers need to consider learning style as under. Dependent learners prefer instruction-led approaches. There are people who want to, are always dependent on the trainer or the teacher. So they want everything instruction based. They need to do this, do this, do this. We can't leave them alone to take some decision. They feel either not confident or they don't want to do it. So you must identify who's a dependent learner. You must identify who's a collaborative learner. He prefers learning, working in a group. So certain things you can teach people only by group activity. Independent learners prefer to learn on their own, whether facilitated or not by the trainer. They are people, whether the trainer is helping them, facilitating them or not, they'll still learn. So you must identify these three types of learners. Designing a training program involves a series of steps, from identifying the learning objectives, determining the training content, deciding the methodologies, selecting the learning activities, defining evaluation criteria, and to specifying follow-up activities. The entire gamut has been put in words, that's all. Even though it's a standard sequence of activities, training managers may have some variations depending upon the situation. This is bookish, this is for a subject, we are writing it down. In real practice, some of them we may not want to do them, it may not be needed to do, so we skip it. When it comes, we may do it, but these are certain things as a checklist you are supposed to do. So now in this slide, you're seeing a flow chart, a flow diagram about how their training is taken up. So what we do is identify the training objective, first point. That gives you determining the training content. Selecting the training methods follows after that. Then we identify the learning activities. We define the evaluation criteria. And finally, we are specifying the follow-up activities that need to be done. Okay, friends? So let's see what happens further. Identifying the training objectives. The training objective is a fundamental to designing a program. The objective is stating what the organization wants the employees to do after the program. The objectives need to be clear, specific, and attainable. I've already discussed this in the earlier slides. An objective is a clear statement of the performance to be achieved under specified conditions and standards. Right?